ETC is go.
Agapus is go.
ETC is go.
Copy, us is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Yep, it's a Tuesday night edition of the show, 11th of January, 2022, and welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you?
You know what? I'm doing okay. I still get tired. The COVID thing still makes me tired for no apparent reason whatsoever other than it just does.
It just, you know, is the gift that keeps on giving.
Well, you know, other than that, I actually feel pretty good.
Okay.
You know, but that, you know, this fatigue issue. Now, look, folks, if you've been listening to this show for any amount of time whatsoever, you understand that neither Diane nor I do much sleeping at night.
Right.
And if we sleep during the day, we don't get any sleep at night.
Correct.
And, you know, so three, four hours of sleep at night isn't helping the fatigue factor. That's all I'm saying. You know. But, you know, it kind of is what it is. Look, we've got a big show tonight. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. We're back to doing an hour and a half on Tuesdays, and that's a good thing. Diane, you're going to be covering a little bit later in the show, actually about half an hour from now. You're going to be covering variant truths.
Yes.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this has something to do with COVID.
Of course it does. Doesn't everything have to do with COVID?
It really does, yeah.
And this basically is a catch-up article. I did publish it a week ago, but, you know, due to circumstances, we can't. We're like backlogged by a couple of weeks here.
Yeah. I'm covering You Can't Spin a House of Cards tonight. It's got a little bit of snark in it. It's not a full-on snarky article, but it does have a little bit. It's got its moments.
Right.
You know? So we're going to cover those things as the show progresses tonight, but we're going to start with quick hitters, which is something, Diane, that you and I haven't done in a coon's age.
True.
You know, let's start on the left coast with Gavin Newsom. Of course, he is the socialist, near-communist governor of California. And his new budget is out. And to be perfectly honest, it's got lots and lots and lots of perks for people, but only if those people happen to be illegal aliens.
Right. He apparently doesn't care about his own residents who are suffering in his state. But now he already gives Medi-Cal, which is their version of Medicare and Medicaid, to low-income illegals.
Right.
But now, and it used to be before they were age 26 and under, but now he's going to give them to those 50 and older starting in the spring. And it basically means that all low-income immigrants would be covered starting in January 2024 at a cost of $2.2 billion a year that are going to be taken away from Californians and given to illegals. And I don't see why California is not out for blood at this point.
You know, California taxes are high enough to begin with.
Yes.
All right. And now people that are working for a living are going to have to pay for all the medical care for illegal aliens, except for a scant 14 years of their lives. Between 26 and 50, they're kind of on their own. But I guarantee you in the next couple of years, they're going to try and close that gap, too, so that they're taking care of illegal aliens from cradle to grave.
Exactly. And what it is if this proposal does go through, California will be the first state in the country to achieve universal access to health coverage. That's really serious, folks, because that means that health care goes to all illegal immigrants, not to Californians, but to all illegal immigrants. That's unbelievable.
Well, and here's something else, too, and I don't understand this. I need an economics guru to tell me how this works. He says, so who knows? But he says he's going to cut taxes, and which would reduce California's revenue by $6.5 billion.
Right.
Well, how can you reduce revenue and up the amount you're paying for illegal aliens?
And get this, folks. It's not just a few thousand illegal aliens. It's 700,000 illegal aliens.
Yeah, wait a minute. I'm here to tell you, that is a low ball figure. I guarantee you that is a low ball figure. There have got to be more than 700,000 illegal aliens in California. It's a sanctuary state.
Absolutely, but this is the number that's being released.
Yeah, there
you go. Of course you know they're hiding things. Of course.
You know, you've got to figure there's got to be 1.5 to 2 million illegal aliens floating around California.
Sure.
At least. I mean, San Francisco, San Diego, Los Angeles, you know, there's so many sanctuary cities in the sanctuary state that, yeah, it's a magnet.
Right. See, and the problem here is Newsom's proposal is going over to their state legislature where Democrats have majorities so large across the state they can pass any spending plan without any Republican votes.
Well, and see, that's a problem because when you get to California, you'll find the centers of liberal Marxism are in the big cities. Okay?
Exactly.
You know, and I named three of them, San Diego, San Francisco, Los Angeles, right? Mm-hmm. Those populations are so high. It doesn't really matter what the rest of the state is, but there are a lot of conservatives in California, but not nearly enough to override the liberal Marxist agenda.
Exactly, and that's the problem. And yet, many of these liberals are leaving California because it's too expensive to live, but they're bringing their crap to the states they're running off to instead of staying in their states and trying to fix the problems.
Well, and you wonder, you know, when they, let's say they move from somewhere in California to somewhere in Texas, okay? Mm-hmm. You really have to wonder how much of an effect they're going to have on a state like Texas. If they move, let's say, from Los Angeles to Austin, Texas, they're trading one blue city for another.
You know. Yeah, but it's the amount. Remember, they can gerrymander and change the districts and flood districts that weren't Democrat can now become Democrat. It's a big problem. You know, you want to leave California because it's in bad shape, fine, but don't bring your crap with you.
Yeah, leave that stuff where you found it.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, That's the thing, and if you know, what we don't know is how many people from, let's say, California, or how many people from Illinois or Minnesota are moving to red states, but we don't know where in those red states are moving. We don't know how many are moving to any specific place. Right. So it's kind of hard to gauge what the outcome of all that will be. But like I said, if they move from a blue city in California to a blue city in Texas, and there are some, Austin, Texas is one of them. Sure. And if you have any doubt about Austin being blue, look at their city motto. Their city motto is Keep Austin Weird.
It probably, I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, that is their city motto. Okay.
Is it really?
Yeah, I'm not making that up. It's Keep Austin Weird. And, you know, so if they're moving to Austin, they're not really going to change the dynamic there.
No.
You know, but if they move to a substantial, if a healthy enough number of them move to a substantially red city or red district in Texas, then it could be trouble, you know, and, you know, that's just an example, but, you know, this is nuts. 700,000 illegal aliens, that's the number they're touting, but I guarantee you there's more than that in California.
Sure. I would guarantee it too.
Now, as much as we love talking about COVID-19 on this show, you know, we are going to bring it up here. A fellow by the name of Albert Bourla, I think I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
He's the CEO over at Pfizer. And Diane, he said something really, really interesting regarding the Pfizer vaccines.
Well, he actually said, two doses of the vaccine offers very limited protection, if any. Three doses with a booster offer reasonable protection against hospitalization and deaths. In other words, basically in a nutshell, the vaccine offers, if anything, limited protection against contracting the current variants of the disease.
Well, see,
and then right after he said that none of this works, he's encouraging people to get booster shots for one reason only, bottom line profits.
Well, yeah, I mean, why else, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, full disclosure here, he is talking about the current variant. So right now he's talking about Omicron, okay? And he's saying, well, you know, the Pfizer vaccine, if it has any deterrent against Omicron, it's very little, and it's probably none.
Right.
You know, but go ahead and get the booster, you know, and let's be honest about the booster. The booster is the third shot of the same thing that didn't work twice before.
Exactly. and here's another thing that makes no sense. Okay, Omicron is going to be, for the most part, over within the next month to 6 weeks, and you'll hear why in my article in a little bit. And yet, the company is spending money and is going to push a vaccine specifically for Omicron. Why bother? And it's going to be ready in March. Why bother when by March we're going to have the new French variant here?
Yeah, which is...
And there's another variant, folks. It's in France right now, and there's also one in Germany.
That French variant, I think, is called another cron.
Another cron?
I mean,
how about Scamacron?
Well, that's the one. That's the one in Germany.
Oh, okay.
You know, look, this is getting nuts. Okay, we saw what Omicron did in South Africa. Okay, right. It had a very steep incline and then it fell off the cliff
in a matter of weeks.
Right, and so we're about at that point where it's going to fall off the cliff here too.
Yes.
Okay, but this new Pfizer vaccine against Omicron will be ready about the time the thing falls off the cliff here.
Right, by the time the French one and the German one are here.
Right, and we don't even know if it's going to work against those.
It's not. What makes people think that something that hasn't worked already is suddenly going to work? Remember, Omicron except if you have, you know, serious pre-existing conditions, lung problems, cancer, you know, we're talking serious stuff here. Omicron is the common cold or a mild flu.
At worst, it's a mild flu.
Right.
Okay, and there's now evidence that suggests that Omicron was actually developed in a lab in South Africa.
Yeah.
There's
all sorts of stories going around now about the development of these viruses.
You know, and this is crazy.
Yeah.
How do you manage to keep track of any of this crap? You know, because it changes on a daily basis. And it's not so much, honestly, that the virus keeps changing. It's that the propaganda changes on a daily basis.
Well, the worst thing to me about this is the fact that some reports by some medical institutions are saying the vaccinated are actually the ones who are more susceptible to Omicron, because the vaccines themselves have sort of thrown their immune systems out of whack.
Exactly. And that is following the science.
Exactly.
Okay, but you know, they don't want to talk about that in the Obama-Biden administration. They don't want to bring that up.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, this is how insane this is getting. Now, earlier today, Diane's favorite person on the planet, Dr. Fauci, was sitting in the Senate getting absolutely roasted and toasted by Rand Paul.
I love it. In fact, Craig, that's our political news on our website for tomorrow.
Well, I mean, folks, you got to go to rspradio1.com and check that out in the morning. Rand Paul had Fauci absolutely shaking.
Yes.
In this hearing today. Rand Paul was on fire.
Yes, he was.
He had the numbers, he had the facts, and Fauci was just buried by him.
But you know what? A lot of the stuff that Rand Paul had, we've been saying all along for months and months and months and months.
Right, right. I mean, we said it on Friday. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure some of this stuff out. And the information's been out there for a long time. All right? But, boy, if you brought it up, you know, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, 10 months ago, you were labeled a heretic.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Fauci, on a hot mic little tidbit, he actually called Rand Paul a moron. You know what? He wants to call Rand Paul a moron. How about we call Fauci what he really is, a traitor?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Joe Biden was in Georgia. And he's out there pushing this changing the Senate filibuster rules thing because Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema are going to put the brakes on yet another one of Biden's agenda items, and that's the voter laws, the federalization of voter laws. They can't do it with the filibuster in place because Manchin and Sinema will stop it. But if they can get rid of the filibuster, then it's Katie bar the door.
Well, you know what? We've got to keep hammering home the fact that the U.S. Constitution, the law of our land, says, yes, anyone can vote, but they need to be a citizen.
Hello?
Nowhere in the Constitution does it say illegal aliens can vote. The word citizen is used time and time again.
Well, and that's just part of what the liberal Marxists are trying to get accomplished. Okay, that's just part of it, mm-hmm. right? They want you to be able to, nationwide, to be able to register to vote on the day of the vote. They want an extra week to get your ballots in. I mean, The list of this crap goes on and on and on and on. The big thing is they don't want any state in the United States to be able to decide for their state how voting takes place. Now, if you go to the Constitution clearly states that each individual state is in charge of their own of elections in their state. That doesn't only mean state elections or municipal elections, it also means federal elections within the state.
Right. But you know what, Craig? Even with that, the state, yes, can, you know, manipulate certain things, but you cannot change the Constitution that says citizens, either natural born or naturalized.
Right.
But they have to be citizens.
Yeah, it's a fact. It's part of the Constitution. It's also part of the Constitution that the states are in charge of elections, not the federal government. And if you're going to change that, you can't just pass a law to change it. You would literally have to amend the Constitution.
Exactly. And they will never get the votes to allow illegal non-citizens to vote.
No. No, it's not going
to
happen.
And they're only doing this to keep themselves in power. You know, Biden is reporting to have said, we will choose democracy over autocracy, light over shadow, justice over injustice. Well, I hate to say anything to Uncle Joe, but his whole administration has chosen autocracy over democracy. And he also forgets, I hate keep hearing the word democracy. We are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic.
Well, but remember, they want a democracy because democracy is mob rule.
Exactly.
Okay, exactly. That's what they
but
want.
As long as our politicians don't speak up and stand up for the Constitution, that's why these things are allowed to happen.
I agree. 100% agree. You know, yes. This is nuts. But I don't think it can withstand constitutional scrutiny at the Supreme Court level. I honestly, I think if they're going to change any of that, they would have to amend the Constitution.
Well, you know, Craig, you got to worry about our Supreme Court a little bit.
Well, yeah.
Look at the nonsense that Sotomayor pulled the other day, you know, overinflating the number of children in hospitals for COVID by great, great amounts.
Diane, she only overstated it by about times 30.
Right, exactly.
Okay, I mean...
She said 100,000 children are in serious condition in hospitals. It's under 3,000 folks. But if you're going to have a Supreme Court justice buying into the liberal propaganda and pushing it in deciding a vote, our Constitution is in serious trouble.
It is. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll let you know what's happening. Finally, in the quick hitters tonight, turns out, this should come as no surprise to anybody, turns out that 100 Chicago area murder suspects, along with a whole bunch of other violent criminals, are now on home monitoring.
Yeah.
That's going to...
But they're being let out on home monitoring.
Yeah, that's not going to end well.
Yes.
That's not going to end well. But what do you expect? It's Chicago.
Well, the Cook County Sheriff, Tom Dart, he's furious because he said 75% to 80% of my people on home monitoring are charged with a violent offense. In fact, he said he has about 100 of them on home monitoring who were charged with murder.
That's insane.
Yes.
That's insane.
Yes, this is their new laws and, you know, the Lori Lightfoot crew and the DA and the AG, and they're so screwed up in Illinois.
It's a mess.
It's a terrible mess.
You know,
terrible mess.
It nothing's going to change let's say in Chicago, until all that crap starts affecting the rich suburbs.
Right.
Okay, when that stuff moves from South Chicago up north in Chicago, then you're going to get some people's attention. But until then, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've got about 4.5 minutes left in this segment, and I just got to tell you, Diane, this morning I watched on my computer, I watched live Governor Ron DeSantis give his State of the State address. And I've got to tell you, he sounded very, how should I put this?
Presidential.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, yes. That was not a State of the State. That was a State of the Union address.
We love our governor. And personally, as much as I know a lot of Floridians don't want him to give up the governorship for a run for the presidency, our country needs a patriot like Ron DeSantis, who has kept Florida free and open, and we have the best job numbers and everything else in this country. We need someone like him, either as Trump's VP or, in my opinion, with a DeSantis gnome ticket.
That address this morning was incredible, I thought.
Yes. Yes. He's an incredible governor. He's standing strong. I mean, I loved over the weekend when he called out AOC, you know, she's blaming Florida for her COVID.
Yeah.
You know, she comes here unmasked, mingles with an area that is packed with people, pushing the vaccine. She's been vaxxed twice, boosted, I believe, twice, and she still came down with COVID. I mean, you got to laugh at the irony of this.
Well, and she's not the only one that was down there in Florida. You know, Swalwell was too.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Swalwell was down there. And it's like DeSantis said, if he had a dollar for every lockdown politician that's come to Florida to get away from it all, he'd be a mighty rich man.
Exactly. Exactly. But his address was amazing. He is an amazing man. And thank God his wife is doing very well right now with her cancer treatments. But this country, like I said, as much as I would hate losing him as governor, he would pick, you know, he has the right lieutenant governor if he were to do this, that stands by his policies. But sometimes you got to put your own state's needs before, I mean, you have to put the country as a whole before your state. And I think he's laying a possible feelers, like he's putting out the feelers there, how the rest of the country would feel about him.
I think it's pretty obvious that's what he's doing. And mm-hmm. I'll tell you, the funniest part of that whole address today was every time, you know, he would say something that Florida has accomplished, they'd point the cameras at the lawmakers, right?
Right.
And the Republican lawmakers were going crazy. They're standing up and applauding and cheering. And you could see the liberal Marxist lawmakers just sitting there on their hands going, oh, son of a... You know, I mean, it was priceless.
Well, we're sitting here with bated breath in Florida because pretty soon they're going to be taking a vote about constitutional carry.
Right.
And, oh, my God, do I have my fingers crossed for that. The Constitution, as far as I'm concerned, is our permit to carry.
Sure.
And we are just waiting with bated breath for that one.
You know, it was a great address, and I had to bring that up because it was so much fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It really was. All right, folks, look, we got a lot to accomplish on the show yet coming up. In just a couple of minutes, Diane's going to be talking about variant truths. And then a little bit later, about a half an hour from now, I'll be talking about you can't spin a house of cards. So folks, you stay with us. We've got plenty more to come on Right Side Patriots after this. You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot. And right over there, that's Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. We're glad you're with us tonight on the Tuesday night edition of the show, folks. And we've got more stuff coming up for you. In fact, Diane, you have put together, what, your second, maybe third article on COVID?
This one was my 26th article.
And, folks, if you're thinking about that, you know, it's been two full years of COVID, so, you know, you figure it out. And honestly, you didn't actually start writing on it the moment COVID started. You did manage to hold off a little bit, so, you know. Yeah. But there will be more COVID articles. But this one particularly is about the different variants. And, yes, you know, we're getting a lot of propaganda on the variants. You but, are. Folks, if you want the truth, you go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, and that's where you find variant truths.
Right in the header. It's COVID-19. But let's start by saying, as 2020 begins, America and the world enter year three of the COVID pandemic, with seemingly no end in sight as variants keep occurring, while China has yet to be officially called to task for releasing this nightmare upon a mostly unsuspecting world. An accidental release is the story China is sticking with, no matter that China's communist government is an enemy of and threat to free peoples everywhere. And here in our own country, no red flags were raised, even after it was found out that Dr. Anthony Fauci himself had gotten us involved in China's gain-of-function research program. But then again, why would an alarm be sounded? After all, Fauci and crew, Joe Biden and his puppet master, Barack Hussein Obama included, are known adherents of the UN's Agenda 30 and Agenda 50 programs, programs that support a one-world government and its call for worldwide population control. Culling the world's herd via COVID-19, perhaps, it's no longer as far-fetched a scenario as it once seemed. Yet President Trump did try to stop COVID-19 from reaching our shores by wanting to shut down our borders completely, but the left pulled out the race card and would not allow it, and thus America's nightmare began. and the lies Fauci told to Trump about the virus's possible spread being but minimal at best were a cover for what Fauci knew was to come. Chaos, sickness, and death on a scale unseen here in our country since the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918. And Fauci loved every minute of it, for he relished in becoming the supposed savior of the masses, masses who hung on to his every word as if he were Jesus walking upon water. But little did the masses realize that they were actually helping to propagate the still ongoing fear and panic by buying into Fauci and Cruz's vaccine and now booster hype, instead of understanding that what was needed was an antidote at best, or at the very least, viable, readily available, cost-effective therapeutics. And while COVID-19 continues to manifest itself as a viral illness, I do believe it remains at its core a Chinese government-initiated bioweapon. And why? Simply because why else would gain-of-function research, research directly involving alteration and manipulation of genotypes and resulting phenotypes, have been needed on a naturally occurring, much less problematic animal virus than knowingly turning said virus into one that is way more pathogenic and transmissible to humans than those viruses that solely exist in nature? And when President Trump, with all his good intentions, initiated Operation Warp Speed, he also bought into the vaccine hype, for he, I believe, was not told by Dr. Fauci that any bioengineered and manipulated virus would likely not respond to a vaccine in the same way as a naturally occurring virus would. But why was Trump not told? Because Fauci, a bought and paid for Democrat Party shill, could not allow the ending or even the managing of the pandemic to become a feather in Donald Trump's cap. Most especially not with the 2020 elections then fast approaching. And Craig, that and the fact that many in Congress had already been given a heads up to buy stock in the companies that would be producing the vaccines, and folks, you can read about that in my article, The Business of COVID-19, along with the seemingly unending need for booster shot after booster shot, as more variants would surely occur, as does happen with most viruses, as did happen with the first Delta variant, and now with Omicron.
Well, you know, this whole thing started with just generic COVID-19, right? Mm-hmm. So, like you just said, the first variant was Delta. Now, right. Delta is the one I came down with right around the 1st of December. So tell us a little bit about the Delta variant and how it plays into all this.
Okay. While the Delta variant did prove to be a formidable foe, it also proved the so counted upon vaccines would not be the hope for end to our COVID-19 woes, for so-called breakthrough cases started to appear in increasing numbers in the fully vaccinated and boosted. And while the media tried to play this down, as well as the fact that some were dying from the actual vaccine itself, along with numerous young adults experiencing serious heart issues, new therapeutics like monoclonal antibodies did keep others from dying. And so we trudged on in this battle against a bioengineered virus as many continued to listen to Fauci and Biden's bloviations about rolling up their sleeves and getting jabbed, while others of us held to our convictions that the vaccines were not only treading into dangerous and unknown territory, but that their future ramifications remained largely unknown. So as Delta started to retreat a bit, as viruses usually do, lo and behold, another variant suddenly occurred. This one we now call Omicron, otherwise known by many as a manifestation of the common cold. Yet once again, the doom and gloom alarm was sounded, with Biden fueling the pyre of fear by his telling the public that Omicron is, quote, here now, and it's spreading, and it's going to increase. We are looking at a winter of severe illness and death for the unvaccinated, end quote. But the problem is that those vaccinated and boosted are now coming down with Omicron as much, if not more so, than those of us who wisely remained unvaccinated. Viruses, especially engineered viruses, have proven themselves to be strange bedfellows indeed, for as time passes, the ensuing variations, while tending to spread faster, do also tend to be symptomatically milder in nature than the variants that came before. Not always, but way more times than not. In fact, while a new variation might multiply faster within each new host, and Omicron seems to multiply up to 70 times faster inside respiratory tract tissue within 48 hours after incubation than the Delta variant does, its actual symptoms, as in the illness it causes, tend to be milder and of shorter duration. Simply, Craig, spreading, peaking faster, then dropping in numbers sooner rather than later, is most variations' calling card, no matter if it comes in like a bull in a china shop.
Well, you know, we referenced this earlier in the show in the quick hitters, but I want you to go into more detail if you can, because the Omicron is much different in the way it rises and falls than was the Delta variant or the original COVID-19. So explain to us, and maybe give us some numbers, how is this Omicron different?
Okay. First, this currently, in other words, coming in like a bull in a china shop, is what we're seeing with Omicron, as witnessed by the case drop in South Africa, the very country where this newest variation seemed to originate from. In fact, it now appears that in but 3 weeks' time, Omicron peaked and passed with a noticeable drop in new cases, leading South African and numerous other medical experts to believe that Omicron recedes fairly quickly, no matter it's garnering a temporary spike in new cases. And this is based upon the documented fact that after South Africa reached a high of almost 27,000 new cases nationwide on the last Thursday in November, that the numbers dropped to 15,424 by the following Tuesday, and that by December 12th, just over 3,300 new cases were reported in South Africa's most popular province of Gauteng, a province that is home to some 16 million people and has continued to decrease unabated ever since. In fact, South Africa's Marta Nunes, senior researcher at the Vaccines and Infectious Disease Analytics at the University of Witwatersrand, stated that, quote, the drop in new cases nationally combined with the sustained drop in new cases seen here in Gauteng province, which for weeks has been the center of this wave, indicates that we are past the peak and that it was a short wave. And the good news is that it was not very severe in terms of hospitalizations and deaths, end quote. Simply, it took a certain amount of time for the original COVID-19 strain to reach our shores. And it also took time for the Delta variant to start raising havoc here in our country as well. But Omicron reached our shores sooner rather than later and has proven itself to spread more quickly. However, that does not change the fact that in epidemiology, a very steep and fast increase in the number of those infected by a virus tends to be followed by a just as fast and steep decrease in viral illness, along with its symptoms tending to be less severe in nature, including seeing less hospitalizations and deaths. And this is the scenario South Africa has proven, and it's the same scenario we are now seeing here in the U.S., and said scenario has changed to such a degree that health expert Dr. Ashish Shah, the dean of the Brown University School of Public Health and former health expert at Harvard University, recently stated that public health officials should stop using previous COVID-19 case data as the central metric by which the severity of the current COVID-19 pandemic is measured, because it's no longer reliable, as Omicron does appear less virulent despite its being highly contagious. And this is, Craig, what he said, quote, "We really have to focus on hospitalizations and deaths now, as the infection wave has not translated to higher incidences of hospitalization and death in other countries so far."
Well, you know, Diane, it's kind of a common sense thing, right? I mean, COVID-19, the original, Delta, the first variant, and Omicron are three completely different things. They all act in completely different ways. You know, it only makes sense that if you use data from the original and from the Delta, when you're talking about Omicron, it's false data, right? So if you look at the world map, right, we're seeing the same thing with Omicron in every country, right? I mean, basically.
Exactly. Exactly. And here, let's start with the fact, you know, while other countries around the world have now also been affected by Omicron, in fact, it has already surpassed Delta as the dominant COVID virus strain in many countries, including here in the U.S. But the fact remains that Omicron is behaving as most viruses do, as in becoming more of a nuisance than a serious life-endangering threat, as proven again by South Africa, where only 23.7% of its population of 60,409,155 have been vaccinated. And this means that vaccines are but an adjunct that is finally starting to take a backseat to the all-important and much-needed factor known as herd immunity. Remember, at the time of the worldwide Spanish flu pandemic of 1918, few viral vaccines were in existence, meaning it was basically herd immunity that eventually helped end said pandemic.
Okay, Diane, now I know at this point, I know that you have talked about herd immunity in other articles. And I say that plural, not just one, right?
Right.
So, but I think it's important that people understand two things about herd immunity. First of all, what it really means, and second of all, why it's so important.
Okay, simply, herd immunity happens when a large portion of the population becomes immune to a disease, thus making the spread of that disease from person to person highly unlikely. And it does so at the same time it starts protecting the whole, not just those who are or have become immune, whether they be naturally immune or having become immune from previously being infected or vaccinated, thereby having developed the much-needed protective antibodies. And if the proportion of the population that is immune to said disease is greater than the threshold of those coming down with or having said disease, the spread of that disease will naturally decline. And this seems to be the point that Omicron has brought us to. For those now being infected are not as seriously ill as those who came down with the earlier COVID variations, as the virus seems to be losing its fertile human feeding ground. Remember, viruses need a host to multiply and live off of in order to survive. So if its supply of hosts become immune to its havoc, the virus then loses the very entity that it needs for survival. But as it now becomes more and more apparent that herd immunity is not what the Democrats want to see happen, for not only is COVID a profitable monetary commodity for politicians on the take, as well as for Big Pharma, But because, along with herd immunity, comes the Democrat hierarchy's loss of control over the masses, and fear of losing control can be witnessed by both Joe Biden's recent doom and gloom winter of death scenario and by Dr. Fauci's push for masks being worn at all times, even at home, his advising that we should cancel Christmas and New Year's gatherings, and that the shunning of we the unvaccinated should become the new norm. Welcome to fascism, COVID style. Case closed.
You know, when you get right down to it, okay, I want to back up here just a little bit, okay? Mm-hmm. You're talking about how Omicron is such a different beast than Delta or the original COVID-19, which is absolutely true, okay? Right. And how they're saying, well, you can't use the same metrics and the same statistics to measure Omicron as you did Delta and original COVID-19. The title of this op-ed is Variant Truths. Why don't they just tell the truth? Because the numbers for COVID-19 and Delta have been so skewed and so propagandized and so false that you can't even use those to accurately measure original COVID and Delta.
Well, there's a reason they can't tell the truth. If they tell the truth about Omicron, and the truth is basically, except if you have a pre-existing, very serious condition like cancer, lung disease, whatever, it's the common cold or a mild flu. That's all it is, folks. The people who are catching it do not have the symptoms of the shortness of breath, I can't breathe, you know, that whole scenario. The major sore throats become a scratchiness. The loss of taste and smell is not there for the vast majority. It is a much milder variation. But if you let the public know that, and if the public then wants to continue going about their business, you've lost control. They have turned a Chinese weaponized virus into a controlling mechanism for right. their party.
Right. There's no doubt about that. But when exactly. you look at COVID-19 and the Delta, right?
Right.
They're saying 850,000 people in this country have died of that. But that's mm-hmm. not true. Because no. the CDC finally admitted what we've been saying all along, that those numbers are way overinflated. And what they said is that at least 75% of the people that have died of, air quotes, COVID-19 actually died with it because they had at least 4 comorbidities.
Exactly. In other words, in a simpler form, let's say someone presents at the hospital with a broken leg, and it's routine now that you give a COVID test, and that COVID test turns out positive. The person is asymptomatic. They presented for a broken leg, yet they will be counted as COVID.
Which is insane. And you
it's
know,
total insanity. And it also is very dangerous because the people that are there for serious, real serious problems are being pushed to the back of the line because now certain states and certain cities are putting minorities ahead of general population for treatment.
Yeah, that's not triage. That's racism.
That's racism, folks. So you have turned what was a weapon, whether it was released deliberately or not, you know, we won't go into that. But you have turned that item into a political manipulative tool.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't get away from that fact.
No.
You know, there's just no getting around that.
Right.
It is what it is. You know, this whole thing, you know, people need to understand the truth about this stuff. And until the truth wins over the propaganda, there's going to be a certain amount of people that are going to spend every day of their lives scared crapless.
Exactly.
You
know?
You got to live your life. You asked me on Friday if I would have done anything different or if I'd go out and get the jab now. The answer is no.
No.
You know, you got to live your life.
You have to. I will not get the jab under any conditions because studies are now also coming out that those who have been jabbed and boosted, like I said earlier, have wrecked their immune systems. Very few people who have been out and about since COVID started, and I'm going back to the first wave, who, you know, did what President Trump suggested, we quarantine for the weeks that he suggested. But once it stopped, and once our governor said, no, you're free, go about your business, how come those of us who have been in the public, who have been maskless, who have lived our lives as close to normal as possible, how come we're not getting sick? Well, we're not even getting colds.
I'll tell you what I think. I think a lot of people have had the virus and maybe just been asymptomatic. And, you know,
or their immune systems fought it off.
Well, and that's, you know, basically asymptomatic. But let's be honest about what asymptomatic really means. It means healthy.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, you get the virus, you don't show any symptoms of it, and then you got some immunity. Look, it's been 2 full years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that there are going to be a few people, I was one of them, that are still going to get it. Okay.
Right. Unfortunately,
but,
sure.
But for the most part, after 2 full years, I think if you haven't gone down with it, if you haven't, you know, if it hasn't affected you yet, your chances of having it affect you are getting slimmer by the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and now they're saying a report came out this morning that was very interesting. If you come down with the common cold and it's not COVID, it's a regular, one of the other millions of viruses out there, that the actual common cold is protecting some people from getting COVID.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that article. It was either yesterday or this morning I saw that. I thought, well, you know, in a way that kind of makes sense because the common cold is a COVID virus.
It's a coronavirus.
Yeah, it's a coronavirus, you know. So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. It's just, we would have been better off in the beginning if people got an antidote or cheap, readily available to the public therapeutics, and we treated this like a flu, like a virus, instead of treating this as a doom and gloom scenario and reported true numbers, didn't overinflate anything, and didn't try to use it as a control over.
Yeah, but Diane, politically, where's the fun in that?
There might not be the fun in it, but many people might still be alive today.
True enough. True enough. Folks, if you want to read this article for yourselves, and you should, you can get it in two different places. You can go to thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com. That's Diane's blog. It's right there. Go to the COVID section in the menu bar. It's right there. You know, easy to find. You could also go to rspradio1.com and pick it up there. Either way you do it, you know, this is telling you a lot of information you're not going to get from the Biden regime. You're not going to get it from mainstream media, certainly. You're not going to get it from Fauci. You're not going to get it from the CDC.
No, you're not.
You know, this is where you want to go when you want to find out what's really happening with the COVID and the variants. Variant Truths is the name of the op-ed. Grab it, read it, save it, hang on to it, and share it.
Yeah. You'll see some stuff you haven't seen before.
Well, and, you know, like I said, this isn't going away anytime soon because this is an election year. And like Diane said, the liberals are going to try and ride this all the way to November. So stay tuned. There will be more from Diane regarding COVID. I can guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I seem to be had this dropped on me. Come on, you've got certain connections. You can find certain information. So
oh, well,
you do COVID.
You know, Diane asked me the other day, she says, you want to do a co-written article on COVID? And I'm like, nope. Nope, you got this.
True, thanks.
You know, I mean, I might take it on in a snarky way at some point.
Right, right.
You know, but no, because, you know, Diane's doing a great job covering this, and she has been for the last couple of years, and that's going to continue. All right, so we got to the top of the hour here. That means we've got to take another quick break, get a couple of station IDs in. We got one segment left tonight. Folks, you want to stick around because I'll be talking about you can't spin a house of cards. Stay with us. There's more to come on Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen from the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Tuesday night edition of the show. Final segment tonight, Diane.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like a fast show.
Well, seems like it because it is.
Folks, if you missed any part of the show tonight, tomorrow you can always go to rspradio1.com, click the podcast button, and become one of the pod people. You don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to give any personal information. You just click that button, and our podcasts are there.
Exactly.
Pretty simple. Be a pod person, a proud one.
Yes, and we're gaining pod people by the day.
Yeah, we are, and we're happy about that. Thank you, folks. We appreciate you. All right, so you can't spin a house of cards. It's now 2022. 2021, a disastrous year by any reasonable stretch of judging such things, is over, and there is hope, a faint light at the far end of the tunnel. We can see it from here. And all we have to do as conservatives is not screw it up. 2021 was so bad that even Betty White died before it ended. Can you even imagine how bleak things would have looked for 2022 had she hung on for just one more day? Yep, it's a whole new year with the same old crap in place, but it's also a midterm election year, and things aren't looking very good for blue, liberal, Marxist-elected officials. Their policies dominated 2021 in all the worst possible ways. And as the 2022 campaigns for the House, the Senate, and some state offices start to gear up and go full steam, there's been talk from the liberal Marxists regarding their plans for getting out of the deep hole they've been digging for themselves. Rather than getting up a ladder, they're just getting a bigger shovel. Last week, AOC, a horse's ass with a big mouth, who for the past 2 years has condemned both Florida and Florida's governor, Ron DeSantis, over the decision to allow Floridians to decide for themselves how best to live their lives, while of course keeping the Sunshine State open for business, fled New York and Washington, D.C.'s draconian COVID mandates and communist policies and went on vacation in Florida. Imagine the uproar from the left side of the aisle had somebody like Jim Jordan vacationed in Chicago and gone out for a Subway sandwich at 2 o'clock in the morning, or had Governor DeSantis himself been seen at the beach by himself wearing a mask. Holy crap! Naturally, Diane, AOC, had the perfect response to her critics who slammed her for being a hypocrite. She called conservatives, quote-unquote, sexually frustrated, and said they just wanted to date her. Quote, if Republicans are mad, they can't date me. They can just say that instead of projecting their used sexual frustrations onto my boyfriend's feet, unquote.
First of all, in their right mind, what conservative male in their right mind would want to date this woman? But I think your response to this woman is quite funny, but quite truthful at the same time.
Well, allow me to just respond to AOC's insanity in this way. If that horse's ass was the last woman on earth, otherwise populated by conservative men, it would be the absolute end of the human race, as nobody, and I mean nobody, would get within 100 feet of the poster girl for political chlamydia. Conservative men do not date communists.
Oh my God.
Meanwhile, it's now been nearly one full year since President Trump left office, and idiots on the left, with help from Liz Cheney, who is herself a liberal Marxist idiot, are still trying to impeach him. The January 6th committee, a Soviet star chamber sort of thing, now claims to have firsthand knowledge that Trump, during what would have been the absolute worst insurrection in the entire history of insurrections, was sitting in the dining room next to the Oval Office watching it on TV. Honestly, it would not surprise me one little bit if the quote-unquote witness to that was somebody Adam Schiff for brains invented. I mean, he's done it before. Seriously, can you blame Trump for not going over there in person? The Secret Service, which is in fact the worst-kept secret in the entire history of secrets, probably told Trump not to go to the Capitol because there was some lunatic over there shooting at unarmed women. The way the liberal Marxists are carrying on regarding Trump, you would think he'd been sleeping with a communist Chinese spy, or he'd hired one as his driver. But since the morons who actually did that, Representative Eric Swalwell and the blathering Dianne Feinstein, are themselves liberal Marxists, there is no committee of inquisition investigating them. Who really cares what Trump was doing after he asked people at the January 6th rally to peacefully head over to the Capitol so that those inside could hear their voices? At least Trump was in Washington, D.C., in the White House, but an olive throw, or an olive pit, I should say, spit away from the Resolute desk while people strolled through the halls of Congress, which was quite the contrast to Dementia Joe at a critical point in his first year in office. What we do know, I should say, is that liberal Marxists are suffering from ID, insurrection dysfunction. Dementia Joe pulled our military out of Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan and handed the keys to the place to an international terrorist organization. He then declined to keep control of Kabul when the Taliban offered it to him. And Diane, he left hundreds of Americans and thousands of our allies behind after said Taliban, the aforementioned international terrorist organization, murdered 13 American personnel.
Well, I have a question that maybe you can answer.
I'll try.
Where was dear old Uncle Joe when the Taliban were going door to door, you know, looking for Americans and our allies to kill?
Oh,
where was he? What was he doing?
I can tell you exactly where he was.
Please do.
He was at his beach house in Delaware, which, in case you're wondering, is so far from the Resolute desk that you couldn't hit it with an olive pit if you fired the pit out of a howitzer.
Oh, my God.
Now, for comparison, the idiot Biden called our ill-fated surrender to the terrorists in Afghanistan an, quote, extraordinary success, unquote, while the liberal Marxists are calling January 6, 2021, worse than 9/11 and the Civil War, unquote. So let's just be honest here. Everything that made 2021 suck out loud happened on Biden's watch, even though he is Obama's dancing monkey puppet. From the botched COVID vaccine rollout to the botched rollout of COVID tests, from soaring inflation to skyrocketing gas prices, from the supply chain crisis to the border crisis, from Afghanistan's surrender to China and Taiwan, Russia and Ukraine. Increased instability in the Middle East, Iran closing in on having nuclear weapons, and the never-ending January 6th winch hunt, it's all on Biden. With help from his liberal Marxist comrades, but all things considered, 2021 wasn't all bad. I mean, Diane, the Second Amendment and the right to defend oneself won, along with Kyle Rittenhouse, Jussie Smollett, and manufacturing your own victimhood in a pretend hate crime lost, and the Cuomo boys are both out of a job.
Oh, dear, the Cuomo boys should have been out of the job long, long ago.
Yes.
But I have a feeling there's a bit more than just the Cuomo boys.
Well, there is. There's reason, I think, in 2022 to be somewhat optimistic. It is a midterm election year, and it's shaping up to be a quantum shift in power in the House, and we stand a pretty good chance of turning the Senate red, too. The liberal Marxists can't run on their record because far too many people now know the truth. Parents who spent a year watching their kids being indoctrinated by remote control are fed up and fighting back. And on Christmas Eve, Biden actually told himself to go get fucked. And I've got the video embedded in the blog. You can see it for yourself.
Yes.
The multi-trillion dollar socialist spending spree of the liberal Marxists failed in the Senate. The green agenda is in tatters. Pelosi is on her way out the door. The 2024 Republican nomination is Trump's for the taking. The liberal Marxists can't run Biden or Harris because Latinos and independents are flocking to the Republican Party. And despite the best efforts of liberal Marxists, the COVID mandates are poised to fall in the Supreme Court, while Florida remains a free state. You see, it's not all doom and gloom. And finally, there's this. Somewhere out there in an undisclosed location, Bill Clinton is busy writing Ghislaine Maxwell's suicide note. Bottom line, you can't spin a house of cards and expect it to remain standing.
No, you can't. And that's the best line. Bill Clinton, that is, I'm sorry, that is the best line. Really.
I mean, it just is what it is, you know?
Yes.
It's when you look at all this stuff, I mean, it's hard to imagine this many disasters going on in just one year.
And it's going to get worse, folks. He, in a way, because of all these disasters, he's kind of a lame duck president going into his second year as president.
You know, in a lot of ways, you're right. And I don't see anything on the horizon that's going to change the big picture on this. I mean, we're steaming into the 2022 election. I mean, it comes up in November, so we still got a lot of months to go, right? But
right.
You look at the agenda, you look at what Biden's out there doing right now, you look at what other elected liberal Marxists are doing and saying right now, and there's really no way out. They've painted themselves into a corner in a minefield.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's going to get worse. I actually think it's going to get worse before, I'm not going to say it's going to get better. The only way it can get better if, you know, we take back the House, we take back the Senate, and then we get the White House, then we can reverse all this. But what I'm afraid of is, what is the damage that they're going to do this year before November? How much more can this country take?
I'll tell you, right now there are, 26 House Democrats that are retiring.
Yes.
Okay. Now, they wouldn't retire if they weren't reading the handwriting on the wall and have a good sense that they're not going to be in power come this time next year.
And that they're not going to get reelected on a personal level either.
Right. So, you know, they're the rats getting off the sinking ship. I mean, that's really what that comes down to.
Right.
So you've got that. The House is where the purse strings for the nation are controlled. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if we take the House but we don't take the Senate, the House sets the budget. The House controls the spending. Okay, so let's say we've got the House, not the Senate. Conservatives in the House come up with a tight budget, and they're not going to put up with any of this wild spending crap that the liberal Marxists are trying to do now. The Senate, of course, they're not going to be happy with that, and they're going to try and override it. But the House holds the last straw. So yes. If things don't happen, then, you know, the Democrats are going to obviously try to blame the Republicans in the House for shutting down Congress, shutting down the government. But I, with all the lies that they've told in the past year, and really for the past 5 years, if you want to get right down to it, I mean, you know, you look at the Russian collusion lie, the January 6th lie, you know, all the lies they told about Trump, you know, you look at the whole scenario, right? And I don't think people are going to believe them. If they say, well, this is the Republicans in the House that did this, I don't think the voters are going to believe them. I don't think the independents are going to believe them. And I don't think the Latinos and a growing number of black people in this country are going to believe them. And if they don't have the independents, and they're bleeding the minority vote right now, especially among Hispanics, if they don't have that, they can't win.
But you cannot forget one key important thing: voter fraud.
Absolutely. That's always the specter that's out there. But I think they're going to have so much trouble going into this thing because it's one damn thing after another. I just don't think people on that side of the aisle, voters on that side of the aisle, are going to vote. I mean, it's not so much that they're all going to turn and vote Republican. I think a lot of people are just going to stay home. While on the right side of the aisle, the right side voters are going to show up in mass.
Oh, I think so. But, you know, they can show up in mass, but as long as we're still using Dominion machines that change votes, you know, as you're putting your paper in, we're going to still have problems.
Yeah, I guarantee you there's going to be problems, but I don't think they can pull it off twice in a row. I don't think they can pull it off twice in 2 years. I really don't. And when you look at the number of people from the House that are leaving, retiring, okay, they see the handwriting on the wall. If they thought, hey, voter fraud's going to save us, they wouldn't be retiring.
I agree with you on that.
You know, I mean, it's reading the tea leaves, and I get that. You know, it's not an exact science, but everything is lined up for a tsunami to hit. I mean, remember, Obama in the midterm talked about getting shellacked. Well, this is going to be a tsunami.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be like we haven't seen in a long time. And it's something our country needs, and it will help us lead into 2024. But I am so afraid of this filibuster coming in. I'm afraid of the push for the voter, you know, the mail-in ballots because of COVID. I'm afraid of all that. Well, I can't help it.
I understand the concern. Believe me, I'm concerned about it too. Okay? But as long as you got a Joe Manchin and a Kyrsten Sinema out there who realize that if you change the filibuster rule in the Senate now, it's going to come back to haunt you because you're not always going to be in control of the Senate.
The problem is, while Manchin is publicly standing strong, there's not been a word from Sinema.
Yeah, and I don't understand that. I don't know why she doesn't pipe up, but, you know.
Is she going to stand with Manchin?
Well, she may not, but it doesn't really matter. All it takes is Manchin.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You know, what they're trying to do is move the goalposts in the middle of the game. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that, you know,
no.
I mean, because it's going to come back to haunt you. And Manchin right. gets it, and I think Sinema gets it. And I wouldn't be surprised that a few other Democrats get it, but they're scared crapless over the fallout if they vote against it from idiots like AOC and Tlaib and so on and so forth.
And it's very kind of nerve-wracking that Tlaib, Rashid, Omar, they've been too quiet lately.
Yeah, it's concerning.
And that's a little bit nerve-wracking. And the one that was, the person that's running, I believe it's against Omar. Don't hold me to that, but I believe it's against Omar. She's been thrown off Twitter. Permanently thrown off.
Well, that's no surprise.
No, it's no surprise. Of course not.
And I'll tell you, that kind of thing is also going to backfire on the liberals. They think, oh, we can silence her by throwing her off of social media. You know, when you do that anymore to somebody running for office, all you're doing is throwing gas on their fire. They're going to use that. They're going to say, look what's happening. All I'm doing is running for an elected office, and they're censoring me. You know?
Right.
I mean, that's not going to hold up well among independents. You know, I mean,
I wouldn't think so.
This is shaping up. I'll just say it this way. This is shaping up to be one of the most interesting, twisted election cycles I can ever remember.
I think there's going to be problems. I think there's going to be some rioting involved.
No.
Here.
Rioting? No.
Yes, I think so. It's not going to go smoothly. I think in the end we're going to pull it off.
Right.
But we also need Republicans to grow a spine.
Well,
if they don't stand up and have those polls monitored.
I agree.
I mean, every single poll. And I'm not just talking about first-time poll watchers who don't know what they're doing.
No, they're going to have experience.
I'm talking about real poll watchers, strong people. This can go to hell.
They need real poll watchers, strong people, like you say. They need people with experience, and they also need poll watchers who know what the law is in their particular state.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, we'll see how this all boils out at the end, but it's shaping up to be a doozy, I think.
It is. and I hope it goes our way, of course, but I don't put anything past the Democrats.
No, you can't. You'd be foolish. You mm-hmm. know, you got to be on guard for anything. The commentaries called You Can't Spin a House of Cards, and you can get it at thenationalpatriot.com. And tomorrow morning, because I forgot to put it up today, tomorrow morning you can get it at rspradio1.com as right. well. And we hope you grab it, read it, share it, click like on it, whatever you can do. We appreciate it when you do that. You know, get your laugh in for the day. I mean, it's worth that at least, right?
The last line alone is worth it.
Well, and some of the images, some of the photos that are in here.
That line pretty about classic. Clinton's, you know, you meant it sarcastically, but there's a hell of a lot of truth in it.
Well, and that's, you see, that's the beauty of writing snark.
Yeah.
Okay, you can be as cynical and as satirical and you know, cut like a knife type of thing, but there's always truth behind it.
Right. I can pull off a few lines of snark, but I'm not a snark, you know, like you are. I can't pull off snark-wise what you pull off.
It's been a lifelong learning curve.
Yeah.
You know, let's put it that way. Folks, look, I know it's a little bit, you know, we got about 5 minutes left here, but I think we're going to wrap this up. I think we've covered pretty much everything we can cover for tonight. Now, Friday, coming up on Friday, it's just a one-hour talk show. We're going to cover whatever there is to cover that we can fit into a one-hour show.
Right. And no, as we get closer to November, the shows will most likely go back to the 7 to 9 time period because we're going to be, you know, covering the whole country, basically.
Well, you have to, you know, in a right. midterm election.
And of course, we will be on air covering the election.
Right. That's become a staple of this show. Every time there's an election, a general election or a midterm election, here we are because it's always on a Tuesday.
Yes, and we're always seem to call it even before the media calls it.
Yep, so you want to tune in for that. I think it's November 8th this year.
November 8th this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
So mark that on your calendars, folks. But with that, Diane, I think we've just about wrapped this show up. What do you think?
I think so.
Time to say goodnight.
Nighty-night, guys.
Good night, everybody. Have a great rest of the week. We'll catch up with you on Friday.